This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Kusi Chong, Ibrahim Sani and me, Melissa Idris. We've got the breakfast grill coming up after this. The Securities Commission recently proposed new amendments to the REIT guidelines, the Real Estate Investment Trust guidelines, trying to spur this sector of the economy. Now, the part of the new measures that were proposed include allowing REITs to acquire vacant land, as well as additional disclosure requirements on income support. So to get a clearer picture of what these amendments could mean for the REIT sector, we're going to get a couple of guests who are experts on REITs. Dato' Stuart Lebroy, Executive Chairman of Area Management, previously from Axis REIT, as well as Azman Arifin, Chief Real Estate Consultant from AXA Strata Solutions.
It's got to be an interesting topic because REITs, by their very characteristics and structure, are quite conservative investments. You buy into them for the predictable yields and income. But as we know, the property sector has been a bit of a doldrums recently, and capital values have not risen as much as we want, nor have rental yields. The thing is, I've got a bit of a problem with this because there aren't that many instruments out there for safe investors.
Right.
You are pretty much penalized for holding cash for the long term and for being conservative. There aren't that many instruments out there with very, very safe characteristics and that give you a decent yield.
Yeah.
You know, fixed deposits and time deposits are at best giving you 3% and a bit, 4%, which is nothing compared to real inflation of 5% or 6%. And REITs, you know, until recently, gave you between 5% and 7%, 5% to 8% returns. And for the regulators to say, hey, you know, let's reinvigorate the market. Let's introduce elements which will increase your risk profile. Where does it leave conservative investors?
So for me, I disagree with the proposals, but on for a different reason, Chuang. One of the specific proposals that I am uncomfortable with is the proposal to let REITs acquire vacant land.
Correct.
They acquire vacant land then to do what? To develop it?
Correct.
How is that different from a property developer?
On the opposite side of the risk profile, because you buy the REITs because they're buying into buildings with decent yields and reliable tenants who will pay their rental on time.
Mm.
You're not. Why would you allow a REIT to use up to half their net asset value to become a property developer? Let the developers do that.
Yeah.
We've already got developments coming out of our ears. We've got, what, another X number of millions of square foot of commercial space coming onto the market in 2 years. We've got a lot of unsold housing stock.
Didn't we just talk about Tabung Haji renting out their property for lower than market price?
Why would you allow more development when the market is not demanding?
But that's why everything is not set in stone just yet. I mean, the Securities Commission did share this paper with the industry, and we're having this conversation.
Yeah. For more discourse, right?
Absolutely.
Which is precisely why we're having this panel today.
Exactly.
This is the conversation that we should be having. Okay, 7:49 right now. Let's take a look at some of the other news today. According to the Malaysian Institute of Corporate Governance President, Dato' Yusli Yusof, he says that the message from the top is not right in tackling graft in the country. So yesterday there was a panel that he was on, and one of the key messages that he said was you have to have the right message coming from top down, because despite the prominence given by the government to combat graft, it's still happening. We still read about it from time to time.
And he blames a lot of things for this. Number one, he blames the culture for permeating. And if you think about it, the weak corporate governance shown by 1MDB is based on what he says, a message from the top being not right. So you can read all you want into it.
Well, you know, for me, one of his interesting quotes from that panel yesterday, and he spoke to the Edge Financial Daily after that panel and said that with the 1MDB case, it's not a small company. The size of 1MDB is bigger than most public listed companies in the country. And, you know, he would know, he was former Bursa CEO. He says that, can you imagine a public listed company of that size not having all those checks and balances? So his question is, where were all the controls? Was it there in the first place?
The controls have always been there. It's just enforcement.
Was it there in the first place, you reckon?
Well, of course you can, because, I mean, corporate governance principles. I mean, Malaysia is one of the best regulated countries in the world in terms of legislation and in terms of the framework. The enforcement is where it falls down. the destruction of the institutions are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had the Auditor General, of course, raised by Dato' Yusli, saying, highlighting transgressions in procurement for X number of years. Where has the enforcement been?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's enforcement, John. I don't know whether I agree with you. I do think we're lacking on the enforcement side.
The Auditor General's reports every single year on budget procurement transgressions, where has the X fallen? It hasn't.
Right. Well,
year in, year out.
For the case of 1MDB, which is cited by Dato' Yusli here, I would say that, you know, if there were checks and balances put in place, this wouldn't have happened. It's not so much about enforcement. It was putting those checks and balances in the first place.
Yeah, this is where Dato' Yusli was trying to draw a contrast, right? Because he says that Khazanah Nasional, one of the country's largest sovereign wealth fund, uses various ways to ensure best governance practices. They use coloured books, they use tick box approach, all this. PNB
you
was
don't
also
want to be
mentioned,
box
right?
Ticking. You want to be adopting a holistic and spiritual approach to corporate governance. You don't want to be saying, oh, well, we've got 4 directors out of 12 independent, and you know, but if there's of those independent directors, from school,
or
then it's not really
are,
independent.
Or if they are government-linked, from government-linked companies, where they need the government to pay their salaries.
Yeah, or you reward someone who has been in the civil service for 100 years and you give them a chairmanship as a retirement president. That's not really being independent because...
So that's not quite enforcement though, Chuang. I mean, the base level, you have to get that right. The corporate governance was not right at the base level.
No.
Yeah, I mean, but you look. No, I have to agree with you, Chuang, on this one, because the laws are there, right?
Look at the board of directors of 1MDB, right?
Okay, yes.
Right.
Which has now been disbanded.
Correct.
And they've got a new board
when
now.
They had no
it's
other
now
choice.
Downsized to 3 individuals.
When they had
only.
No other choice but to. But look at the appointment of directors on the 1MDB board. How many of them were truly independent?
Mm hmm. I mean,
pregnant silence. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But
okay. And 1MDB at its height was, you know, it can mean it could have been 20% of national GDP, 42 billion. I think, you know, not GDP, budget. Right, we spend about 250 billion ringgit on our national budget. 1MDB was as almost, you know, 20% of that.
Well, kudos to Dato' Yusli for weighing in on this as the president of the Institute of Corporate Governance. I mean, the fact that he actually brought it up and, you know, highlighted this as an issue, good for him.
It's not just him, actually, because PricewaterhouseCoopers have also introduced the recent Global Economic Crime Survey. They highlighted an increase in bribery and corruption cases in Malaysia. This is an empirical study that showed an increase in Malaysia. So,
intriguingly, the only one of the big four accounting firms to not have audited 1MDB and to not have resign from the position.
We're going to be talking to them at 8:35 a.m. on Current Affairs today, so you can stay tuned for more of the key findings from that report. But getting back to the business dailies today, the government has announced tax breaks for the shipping industry as well as the ship repairing industry. And I guess this is all to help a sector that has been hit by not just the low oil prices, but also slower trade globally.
Yeah. And one thing interesting is that this tax break is projected to be able to generate about 6.5 or close to 6.5 billion ringgit in GNI or gross national income. They're expected to provide 55,000 additional jobs by 2020. And I think this is key for the country to look at, because essentially tax breaks means lower tax revenue. So on the foresight, the government will earn less tax revenue. But on the hindsight, the additional cash holding that these companies have allows them to reinvest in this particular sector, hence that projected 6 billion ringgit extra GNI.
Yeah, sometimes it's interesting because the government, you know, it does what it can for the economy. And in certain circumstances, for example, with widening REITs and amending the REIT guidelines, some might criticize it. But in this instance, this is another case, and I think it's very good because it does more to diversify the economy, where, for example, the energy complex has made it less plausible to sell, to produce oil and various energies. Then we also introduce other tax breaks and legislative amendments to say, hey, you know, for example, if we're not, you know, using our VLCCs to carry more crude around the world, well, then let's do something else. Let's go and do
right.
Go into ship repair, ship management, ship building. That's interesting. See?
I didn't realize that there was a big ship building industry.
There is in Malaysia.
Lots of shipyards, right? I think there's about, 100 shipyards, registered shipyards in Malaysia.
And
most of them are in East Malaysia.
Yeah, most of them are in East Malaysia. Again, back to that Sabah Sarawak story of how things are run oversight here in West Malaysia. Some of the big companies includes MMHE. We've had them on the grill. Bauset Naval Shipyard. We've had them on the grill. Sabah Shipyard, Sapura Kencana, Namcheong. All these companies will stand to benefit from this tax break. Now, the only thing that the government wants is their goodwill to reinvest this money back into the system.
And Great jobs. They should, because they've given they've been given tax breaks and tax rebates.
Yeah, but there are no guarantees that they will do so. That's the only thing that I'm personally worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, you're a struggling industry in a struggling sector. Yes, the government wants you to reinvest in this sector again. But what is stopping, say, for instance, Saprakan China to use the tax savings and invest it elsewhere? So this is where the goodwill has to happen between these industry with the government.
Of course there's goodwill, because that's what people do. It's quid pro quo. That's how business works. And the energy industry, right, it's cyclical, highly cyclical. Not a question of if, but when the energy industry turns around.
Yeah. So some of the details of tax breaks includes new companies. They will receive either pioneer status within 70% of their income tax exemption. Existing shipbuilders, they can enjoy investment tax allowance up to 60%. So these are substantial savings. They're not a haircut. They're really, really big money that can be saved here.
Well, do you know what? It's not just industrial boats and vessels. You know, I think Malaysia also has quite a lot of expertise in terms of building, retail consumer yachts and people in the retail industry.
Like a luxury.
Yeah,
what do you call that?
I think
Tanjung Malai, Marina Bay kind of thing.
You know, people with money in their pockets, they like to buy boats.
Oh,
you know,
and Danga Bay now in Johor.
You like to
go sailing, Chuang.
Yeah, in Johor Bay, right? So Grand Banks, which used to be made, and I think in Johor, they've been bought by this Australian yacht making firm, and they make stuff in Johor. They build boats in Johor.
I can see you with a captain's hat.
Cannot.
Yeah, can I captain?
No money,
yeah,
no money.
I captain. Okay. Coming up to the breakfast grill, but very quickly, let's take a look at Facebook. They're going to start forcing ads to appear for all users using their desktop website, even though you have an ad blocking software. So you're still going to get pop-ups.
We're going to get pop-ups. Facebook is just going to ignore all the safety measures that you put in place in your browser. And we now know that Facebook's exploding ad revenue is extremely phenomenal. They've earned about $1 billion in the first quarter, a further $2 billion in terms of revenue in the second quarter. And I think they are not stopping at this.
Can they do that?
Of course they can.
If I have ad blocker software.
Well, it's their platform, isn't it? They can do whatever they want with it. If you listen to BFM, and BFM is a platform,
and you play ads,
you turn away, lah. So, say for example,
so
Facebook.
So it's not like I can turn away from the pop-ups, right?
Well, you can't, because it's their platform. And look, I mean, they already cater to, 23% of the global population. They've got 1.7 billion users. Do you know what I mean? They can do whatever they want, in a way. You know what I mean?
And you give them the permission, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
signing up for a Facebook account, you have signed into their ecosystem.
So
you don't like it, you just kill your account.
Moral of the story is, if you didn't pay for the service, somebody else did, and you know, Facebook is free, like Pokemon Go right now, which is free, and apparently they now detect everywhere.
You're not playing it now, are you?
I am playing it now. I'm so
sorry. Ibrahim, what is wrong with you, man?
Yeah. Some addiction level there.
That's why he was distracted just now when
this
we were talking.
He was swinging his laptop back and forth. And he was going a bit berserk.
Okay, news is up next. And after that, we have the Breakfast Grill, a panel discussion on the recent proposed announcements of amendments to the REIT guidelines. Stay tuned for that on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.